Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, the inquest into the death of Aoife Johnston has resumed in Limerick this morning. The 16-year-old died at University Hospital Limerick in 2022 after being referred to the emergency department there with suspected sepsis. Now, the HSE has already admitted there was a failure of significant proportions in the care provided to Aoife, which had clear and catastrophic consequences. Well, in the past few moments, a doctor giving evidence got upset a number of times, recalling her experiences of the night in question, and said her decision to cease working for the HSE was directly linked to the events of that weekend. RTE reporter John Cook is at the Coroner's Court in Kilmallock and joins me on the line. So John, that evidence I just referred to there was from Dr. Leandri Carrad, who was the only senior house officer on duty on that night, the 17th of December 2022. So take us through what she's been saying.
That's right, Claire. Dr. Leandri Carrad was the senior house officer on the night. She mentioned two emergency department registrar doctors on duty with her as well in the resus area of the emergency department. But she said they were also covering zones A, B and C, paediatrics and the resus area of the emergency department on a very, very busy night that was overwhelming, she said, for many. She said there were 35 category 2 patients and counting when she checked. One of those was Aoife Johnston, we know, and we know that for category 2 patients who are triaged in this category, they should have been seen by a doctor within 10 to 15 minutes. It was 10 and a half hours later before Aoife was finally seen by a doctor. Dr. Leandri Carrad said there were 191 patients in the department that night. Resus was full, and she mentioned the yellow weather warning that was in place in December of 2022 for the cold spell, with lots of people coming in with breakages and injuries related to the ice. She said nursing staff were overwhelmed. There were large numbers of patients on trolleys, and nursing staff asked her to prescribe symptomatic treatments for Aoife and other patients. She was also asked to see Aoife, who she recalled in her statement was triaged on Saturday evening, the 17th of December at 13 minutes past 7, but it was after 6 a.m. the following morning before Dr. Carrad finally got to see her, the first doctor to see her. She said there were 10 ahead of her when a nurse asked to see her once again. It was an impossible situation, she said. I had to be guided by nurses, as well as the concerns of families like Aoife's parents. She said she was prioritising patients based on what the nurses were presenting to her, but there were large numbers presenting. She said when she saw Aoife, she was in distress and pain, generalised body pain and fever, nausea and vomiting. She said her temperature was 38.3, her blood pressure was borderline low, and Dr. Carrad's impression was a viral illness. It could be meningitis, she told Aoife's parents, Carol and James, which could be difficult to diagnose, but she would give appropriate antibiotics and steroids while awaiting tests. She also prescribed normal saline and pain relief, she said. In her evidence, Dr. Carrad became emotional at times, reading from her statement, brushing away tears. She said she considered a move to the resus area for Aoife because of the urgency of her case, but it wasn't an option. All available space was taken with trolleys up to the door, she said. Her written statement concluded saying she didn't expect such rapid deterioration for Aoife. Words were inadequate, she added, but she said she'd like to offer condolences to Aoife's family and friends and was incredibly sorry for their loss, Claire.
And she also faced cross-examination on that evidence, John.
Yes, from Damien Tansey, senior counsel for the Johnston family. She told him she doesn't work for the HSE anymore. She now works for a private emergency clinic. She was pressed on that later on. But in other questions, she said she didn't know what time she was asked about Aoife. She knows she was asked to prescribe something during the night to help her stop vomiting. She said this was symptomatic management of medication without seeing a patient. It's not best practice, but it's not an ideal situation in an overcrowded emergency department, she said. You can't see 191 patients all at once. And she said this is not out of the norm. It happens on every shift, every day. She was asked, would it result in adverse outcomes by Damien Tansey, senior counsel? She said, yes, it could. Also, she was asked about the evidence of Dr. Mohammed Hassan yesterday, one of the emergency registrars, who said he didn't recall being asked to see Aoife and had no direct contact with her. She said, regarding Dr. Hassan's evidence, I don't blame him, given given the state of the emergency department that night. It was like a war zone, she said, using the words of the clinical nurse manager, Catherine Skelly, who gave evidence yesterday. You do what you have to do to survive. Did you know if she had a sepsis, query asked Damien Tansey. She said, I could see some markers. She said she could remember her parents being there, Carol and James Johnson, being very worried. And she said she knew she was very sick. She said, asked, was she effectively dying, with tears running down her cheeks. Dr. Card said that was not evident at the time. She said medication was not given as urgently as she'd hoped, even after prescribing those antibiotics at last. They didn't come, we know, for Aoife until 12 hours after she had been triaged. She said she had impressed that urgency on nurses, but they were overwhelmed. She was asked if medicine had been given earlier, would the outcome have been different for Aoife? But an objection was raised in court to this by Conor Halpin, the senior counsel for the University of Limerick Hospital, the coroner upholding that objection. Damien Tansey moving on to other questions and noting the distress for Aoife's parents and the doctor herself in discussing this outcome. Dr. Card agreed it was an intolerable situation that night, and she was asked, did she leave the HSE after Aoife's case? Did that case have an impact on her? It did, she said, in tears once again. Dr. Card was asked about Nurse Catherine Skelly's evidence yesterday, when this clinical nurse manager of 23 years said that Aoife's case had broken her professionally and personally, and she'd never worked in the emergency department since that weekend. She was asked if this was a similar situation for her, and brushing away tears, asking if this case was instrumental in her leaving the HSE, Dr. Leandre Card said it was. She brushed away tears once again as she left the witness box, Claire.
Yeah, it's just so harrowing, and we think of Aoife's family who are sitting there today, and the evidence will continue for the rest of today, John.
That's right, and for the coming days, Claire, currently medical registrar, Dr. Manaj Kumar Budhalija, he's giving evidence on video link from India right now. Following some technical issues, he is reading his statement and will face cross-examination too. Further medical witnesses to come too, among them the consultant in emergency medicine that was described as the person who would have been in charge of the emergency department that night. It was said in court yesterday by Nurse Catherine Skelly that he had declined her request for him to come back to help on the night in question. He said he would return the following day. He is due to give evidence himself later on, along with other medical witnesses, and this inquest is scheduled to continue. There's over 20 more witnesses to come between now and Thursday.
All right. Well, John, thank you very much. That is RT reporter John Cook at the Coroner's Court in Kilmallock, and there will be more coverage from the Aoife Johnston inquest later on Drive Time, which starts later today at 4:30 in the afternoon.